Thank you for being with us as we begin hour number two of Sports 180. This hour will include John Wilkerson stopping by from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. We'll see what he thinks about Tennessee Ole Miss, what he thinks about Game 5 tonight between the Dodgers and the Giants, a little NFL action as well. Noah shared a note which backs up something else that I had seen. This is actually from Alan Bell, who will be our guest at 2:30. Noah, thanks for tagging us on it. Tom Brady 0-10 against the spread in his last 10 games with a 7 p.m. kickoff or later. The Bucs 0-2 against the spread with Brady on Thursday night. Football also 0-2 against the spread on the road this season. They were in prime time a week ago against the Patriots. Now, that was a different kind of game, of course, but you get Bucs Eagles tonight at 7 o'clock.
All right. It's going to be exciting.
8:20 tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. You went with the Eagles and took those points, so yeah. I laid them down a little reluctantly. I might be regretting that. I think you're smart to point out, whenever you're at home, being a home dog, that, you know, there's a pretty good chance you could muster up some magic, especially coming off a come-from-behind win. But I don't know. I do remember that narrative developing last year, and it was more in regards to old man Brady, and anytime he went to bed early, either the Bucks were losing or they weren't covering. So I do like that stat being dusted off, and I might regret my pick tomorrow. My picks have been off, Josh.
Yeah, you're a little nervous about the best bet. Sports 180 still is a team. We're doing well. I'm 5-2. You're 4-3 our weekend best bets.
After starting out 4-0, that's the hardest part. You start off like red hot, and then boom. And I went with, and I heard Dan Wetzel, he also went with Alabama last week. I mean, if you can't bet on Alabama to cover, I mean, what? The betting world is against me. I just don't know what to do. The stars are lining up to make me a joke.
Well,
in
2 weeks.
Betting world.
Yeah, we're keeping that restricted to the betting world, huh? I kid. So 2 weeks ago, you went with Ole Miss plus the points. You like that one? Plus the points against Alabama, and you got burned by the Tide.
Yep.
So you flipped and you went with the Tide, and you got burned again by the Tide or A&M, depending how you look at it. And the line's about the same. It's been close to the same the last three games. They're again about a 17.5. 18-point favorite, I believe, against Mississippi State this week.
Should have taken Georgia last week. Easy cover. Cover for the Bulldogs. They're on a tear. But I don't want to jump on that bandwagon this week because I actually do respect Kentucky. And I think they can, you know, they can conjure up something, especially if Stetson Bennett is playing. If JT Daniels comes out and plays, you probably... maybe another easy cover for Georgia. I don't know. But
it's looked pretty easy no matter what to this point.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe I'm going to look towards the Big Ten. We'll see if there's any feisty bets going in the Big Ten that I could make my best bet this week. So still 24 hours to figure it out.
Yeah, we'll give out our best bets on tomorrow's show, but we get a little football tonight, a couple of college games, nothing too big, but Memphis Navy, that's an interesting little matchup. And then South Alabama is an opponent Tennessee will play later in the season. They will take on Georgia Southern. So you have that in college. The NFL, you have the Bucks and the Eagles, and then, of course, the build-up to Tennessee and Ole Miss on Saturday night, Heather, 7:30 at Neyland Stadium. Is the number one storyline in this, is it the revenge game against Lane? Is that the number one storyline?
I think for the fan base. I mean, you know, like Josh Heupel, what does he care? You know, that was 11 years ago. Who knows what even Josh Heupel was doing back then? I'd have to do a Wikipedia deep dive to figure out even where he was. So, yeah, there's no revenge on, like, his mind or the team's mind. But in the fan base's mind's eye, you're circling. You don't want Lane Kiffin to get the best of you again, right? That is how the fans are approaching this game. They just want to win. They just want him to feel some of the pain that they have felt over the last 11 years.
Yeah, and there is more than one storyline. There's more than one factor in this. You're right. For Josh Heupel, I mean, he's aware of the Lane Kiffin history with Tennessee, and they've gone up against each other twice as head coaches. But for him, I mean, at the time, he's an assistant trying to help build Oklahoma's offense. And at the time, 2009, these Ole Miss and Tennessee players, maybe some of them were watching college football, but not that much, probably.
No.
It was 12 years ago.
They're playing video games, man. Yeah. These kids were like 6 and 7 years old.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just, but they're also aware of it. And they, you know, they know that Lane has personality and there's some social media fun that's being had. Did you see the Ole Miss graphic of chess versus checkers, so the orange and white checkerboard with the chess pieces, you know, which is clever. So, but, you know, what does that even mean for the game? Nothing on Saturday. So there's the Lane Kiffin aspect, but Tennessee's 4-2. They've won two in a row. It's year one with Josh Heupel, and this is a chance to beat a top 15 team. So you'd get the if you can win on Saturday, you get the benefits of the narrative of how good Ole Miss is and Lane Kiffin and how interesting it is. But more so for Tennessee, I think it could mean, well, that's three wins in a row. You're 5-2 with a chance to go win 7 or 8 games this season. If you do win this game, it would no doubt help with your recruiting efforts and just the mood of the fan base. I mean, would be terrific. So you can remove Lane Kiffin, which is impossible, from this conversation and still so much to be gained. But with it, if you can get your, quote, revenge 12 years later against Lane. He's been here before, but there's a difference with him being
head
the
coach
offensive
and,
coordinator
yeah.
at Alabama, which was a massive favorite, and it didn't really matter what role he was playing, versus him being the head coach of Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's definitely different there. But like I said, that's more between the fan base in Lane Kiffin rather than the team in Lane Kiffin. I think also for this team, you played so good in the first half of that Florida game, and it was kind of off or not with the way the second half went. Mm-hmm. Can you go out and prove, hey, we're not just beating up on little brother here. Like, we can also beat up on our peers, the people that are more on the same plane as us. And I think that this Tennessee team needs to look at this game that way. Like, the Florida game got away from you. There were some obvious misplays. Now can you go out against another quality team and change kind of the talking points, change the way people are perceiving you as, well, yeah, look at who they beat, Missouri and South Carolina. How many wins are those two teams going to have between them?
Right.
But you go out and beat somebody in the top 25 who's firmly been in the top 25 this season, got a lot of preseason hype, and a Heisman Trophy contender right now in Matt Corral. You go out and win this game, that's going to say a lot for this Tennessee team.
Okay, so the flip side, what is your answer to the nervous Tennessee fan of, uh-oh, are we going to blow it? What if we lose by a couple of scores here?
I totally get it. I totally get the fact that within all of us lives this little demon that says, don't believe it, something bad is going to happen. And I think people just, they've liked to feel confident over the past couple weeks. Still, the Missouri first quarter was just mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody that I had listened to, we talked about, nobody had that game going in that direction. And so it was a really eye-opening moment. And it felt so good for so many people who, man, it wasn't just good to go out and get a win unexpectedly. To go out and whoop some A unexpectedly, that was like, oh, we kind of forgot how this felt like against teams not named Tennessee Tech. So, yeah. You know, there was that aspect to it. And then you follow that up with another good performance versus South Carolina. So you know how it is. People get drunk on winning. That's why these coaches stay in it for so long, is because there's no other feeling like winning in the world. And people have gotten spoiled over the last couple of weeks. So they're like, oh, is this reality check time? Because I do remember the second half of that Florida game, you know. Like,
yeah, it was just a few weeks ago.
Just a couple of weeks ago. It's so crazy how things and conversations change very quickly in college football. You've noted that a couple of times this week. But, yeah, I think people just, they want the feel-good train to keep rolling. And, man, getting a win with all the criteria that we've laid out, it would just be huge. It would be huge for this Tennessee team and for Josh Heupel in year one, I feel like.
Yeah, 104.5 The Zone, our station there in Nashville, with the question, Tennessee fans, have you forgiven Lane Kiffin?
Can you forgive people that haven't apologized? I guess you can, right? I think that's part of, like, personal growth. It's you focus more on
personal growth, Tennessee fan base. Interesting conversation here.
Have you forgiven? Like, great question. Kudos to you guys on The Zone. And yeah. I would imagine most people say no. I would imagine the number one response will be no.
If you get a win this week, can that at least create inner peace with what occurred?
Are you on the road to healing?
Yeah.
Your past grief or your past denial? Yeah, baby. You'll just feel good. That's all I know, is people will feel really good with a win this week.
That would be true. Let's get Kevin's call here on Sports 180 as we continue the Tennessee conversation. Kevin, good afternoon. What's on your mind today?
Perfect segue. My house is divided. I never was a Lane hater. I thought he was a great offensive mind and an asset, and wouldn't have minded having him back. Whereas when he left, she was like good riddance and hated him. Doesn't like that I like. I mean, I prefer Heupel now, but I don't have a problem with him. I'm just hoping we can play for four quarters for the first time in a long while, because we didn't do that against Florida, and we still haven't done it really against good competition. So that'd be good to see.
Yeah, it would add to the buy-in, because I think even people who are really excited recognize, yeah, Missouri and South Carolina, not the most impressive opponents you're going to face. Ole Miss, I don't know how good of a team it is. We'll see how the season plays out, but it would for sure be a quality win if you can beat a team that's currently ranked in the top 15 this Saturday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so you said that you still had, like, good feelings towards Lane. You were never mad?
I wouldn't go never. I mean, I was surprised, but I remember when that mm-hmm. when that USC job became like a thing, like it looked like it was going to open up. I was like going, dude's going to be gone. I just started thinking that in my head, because that was like where he basically, you know, grew up coaching kind of, and I wasn't surprised. I was shocked, like everybody seemed to be, because yeah. like I knew it was a possibility. Just like now, it's like, I want Oklahoma to stay good.
Yeah, with Josh Heupel's ties to that school. Kevin, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate your perspective. I agree with Kevin in what he just said. And it doesn't mean Tennessee fans should have been happy that he left either. But Tom Hart brought this up yesterday when he was on the show. The idea of Lane Kiffin leaving Tennessee to go to USC, where I think probably everybody associated him with, right? Like, just outside,
yeah,
just
absolutely.
Around the country. So him leaving Tennessee to go to USC would probably be expected by most people not connected to Tennessee if you knew he was going to get the job offer. But to Tennessee people, how can you leave us? So I know we're revisiting what happened 12 years ago, but that was the emotion. It doesn't happen all the time, but it happens fairly regularly for coaches to come and go after a year. But if it's not your school, you probably don't pay attention to it. If it is your school, especially if it's Tennessee, where you have a very passionate fan base, it's a little bit different. You're also a year removed from firing a coach who was a Hall of Famer and meant so much to the school. So, yeah, it was the fact that it was Tennessee. That was the big deal. Like, Mel Tucker was the example. Just happened a year ago.
Just
did any Tennessee
ago,
fan say, how can Mel Tucker leave Colorado after a year to go to Michigan State? Of course not.
No. No, that's because at the same time they were asking for Lane Kiffin to leave Ole Miss to come back to Tennessee after one year. I will say this. I think the most disappointing part, especially for the fans, or the part that you could tangibly be upset about, was was telling the recruits, don't go to class.
Like the Ed Orgeron calls.
Yeah. The stuff that ensued after he had made that decision. Yeah.
But fans didn't find out about that until after the rioting and everything that was going on.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying Tennessee fans. Yeah, don't misconstrue. Like, Tennessee fans, they had a legit reason to be upset when that news broke. But just on the surface of him going, it's just because they had liked him so much. They had liked him and they felt like they got jilted. Like, I totally get it.
Yeah, it was a real to-do. We'll continue here on Sports 180 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. We'll tell you about what's going on where we are today at the Bed Store on Clinton Highway in Powell. We'll tell you about what's going on here. We'll tell you about what's going on in the world of college basketball, where a little more hype, a little more buzz is coming with Tennessee just a few weeks ahead of the start of the season. We'll tell you about that coming up here on Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports 180 continues at the Bed Store. We are here on Clinton Highway in Powell. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. We'll tell you more about what's going on right here as we continue to get ready for the weekend. Donnie is ready. He's on the line with us as he heard the sound a moment ago. The chance to score a Ford from Ted Russell Ford. Donnie, do you have a score prediction for the game on Saturday night?
38-35 UT.
All right, Tennessee winning 38-35. Heather, you like that score?
I like that score. I like the margin, the difference in the game, because I think it's going to be pretty close no matter what. But I think Donnie's onto something right there.
Donnie, we have you down. Tennessee beating Ole Miss 38-35. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Donnie. Donnie with a chance, as others will still have before we pick a score tomorrow afternoon from all that we will have collected, for the chance to win a 2021 Ford Mustang GT valued at $42,000 from Ted Russell Ford.
This is an iconic piece of American muscle. I mean, you talk about just the epitome of cool cars. That's the Mustang GT, 5-liter V8 engine. Going to get you from point A to point B. Not only looking good, but really fast, too, thanks to our friends at Ted Russell Ford.
That's right. Continue to listen today, tomorrow, and each week through the rest of the season for your chance to score Ford from Ted Russell Ford. Heather, Tennessee's basketball team is getting closer to starting up the season. There will be exhibition play beginning on October 30th. You'll have the season tipping off not too long after that. And when Tennessee hits the floor, according to CBSSports.com, it will take the 16th best team in the country out onto the floor. With Matt Norlander doing his ranking of all of the teams in college basketball, that is a task, by the way, but he has Tennessee as the number 16 team in the country, and says that, you know, you look at the talent coming in, you look at players coming back, veterans like John Fulkerson, Josiah Jordan James, Victor Bailey, Santiago Viscovi, plus Justin Powell, a transfer from Auburn. Number 16 in the country. Is that fair? What do you think when you see that from Matt Norlander at CBS Sports?
Yeah, I think it's very fair. And when you look at how Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander have kind of tracked this Tennessee team, how much the conversation has changed around them. I mean, being outside of Gary Parrish's like top 30 at the beginning of the offseason, and then with Tennessee retooling, bringing in the pieces that they brought in along with the signing class, that has steadily, I think, you know, changed everybody's mind on what the ceiling now is for this Tennessee team. But yeah, I would imagine that most people are going to have them definitely a top 20 team. I think you'll also see some top 15s when it rolls around.
Yeah, Tennessee is one spot ahead of Arkansas in this ranking from Matt Norlander. Also from the SEC, ahead of Tennessee, you have Kentucky at number 13, and Alabama comes in at number 9. According to Norlander. Memphis number 8, by the way, point that team out, being on the schedule and being in the state and just of interest to fans, I would say.
Yep.
His top teams in the country, number 1, Gonzaga, number 2, Purdue, number 3, Villanova, Kansas is 4th, and Michigan is 5th. Also, Norlander added this on Tennessee, that Kennedy Chandler could be a star. He is one of a group of talented freshmen coming in, but he should be the star of the group, the best of the freshmen for sure. And finished writing, if Chandler's a revelation and John Fulkerson can be as good this season as some thought he would be last season, then yeah, UT can win the SEC. That is Matt Norlander, CBSSports.com.
And that's some big praise, because the SEC is also just better. Kentucky probably is the cream of the crop. Look at what they brought in this offseason. I mean, they're going to be incredible. I think Arkansas might be too low in this with how the pieces that they have brought in and with what Musselman is doing. That might actually end up being a top 10 team. It'll be interesting to see who will be better, Alabama or Arkansas, because I kind of would lean towards Arkansas. We'll see there. But yeah, the SEC just being better in general too means that's some pretty high praise from Matt Norlander talking about Tennessee winning the conference.
You can read it yourself at CBSSports.com. Heather, we continue here at the Bed Store having a great time. One of 8 area locations. We're at the location in Powell on Clinton Highway. They'll take care of you. They'll help you find the right fit for you. TuckFit.com will help with that too.
Yes, and with the football slate the way it is this weekend, maybe get some shopping done early if you're in the market for a new mattress and a great night's sleep. Well, with 8 area locations, you are close to a Bed Store. They've got Bearden, Turkey Creek, Maryville, Chapman Highway, Lenore City, Morristown, Athens, and right here in Powell, as Josh was saying a second ago, on Clinton Highway. Come by, check out the Fall Savings event. That's going to end on Monday, so make sure you swing by. Save $300 on select Tempur-Pedics, including on the Tempur-Pedic Lux Breeze that sleeps up to 8 degrees cooler. They've got the clearance sale also going on. You can save up to 35% on some select models and different sizes. Just see your local salesperson for that availability. And then some of the benefits of buying from the Bed Store. store. You're going to get free local delivery, free setup, and free haul away of your old mattress. So they're going to take all those old problems off of your hands, and you're going to get a great night's sleep thanks to the bed store.
That's where we are and will be for the next 90 minutes. For the next 30 minutes, we will talk to John Wilkerson, who's getting ready for Sports Talk at 3. What does he think about this Tennessee-Ole Miss matchup? Everything else going on in the sports world, we'll discuss coming up right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thanks for being with us as we begin the second half of today's show. Getting ready for Sports Talk at 3 o'clock this afternoon with Sports 180 set up at the Bed Store in Powell on Clinton Highway, one of 8 area locations. We'll be here until 3 o'clock, and as I mentioned, Sports Talk will take over then. John Wilkerson will be a part of that show and a part of our show for the next 30 minutes. John, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. Hope you guys are. Sounds like you're having a good time.
We are having a very good time. Will Tennessee have a good time on Saturday night? What do you think as we're approaching 48 hours to kickoff?
I do think that that Tennessee will have a good time. I think Tennessee fans will have a good time. I obviously don't know the result of what will take place in terms of the game, but I just think the buildup to it, the atmosphere, the excitement, you name it. I mean, this is something that we haven't seen since 2017 in terms of a sellout. Also happens to be the last time that we saw Checker Neyland. So I do think that with the positive momentum that this program has, as well as all the storylines that go into Saturday, there would be a lot of anxiety, some trepidation, and as well as just sheer excitement. I just think that all of this is what you want. I mean, you want meaningful games when we're past the middle of October, which I guess we officially reach on Saturday.
Hey, John, is it good that the team and Josh Heupel don't have this like emotional or volatile relationship with Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin? I know the fan base is never going to be able to take that out of the mix, but it's probably good that, I mean, this is just another game for the team against a really good team that they want to beat, right?
Right. And you guys were, I thought, did a really nice job of just kind of painting that picture that when this was a big deal, and for some it's still a very big deal, either those that would love to have seen Lane return at some point in time or those that just couldn't stand him and wouldn't walk across the street to put him out if he was on fire, I just think that, yeah, I mean, this is completely and totally just the next opponent for this coaching staff and for this roster. And I think that's a good thing, because what you do is this, you point to what you see as their strengths and what you have to defend, and also what their weaknesses might be and what you hope to exploit. There's no emotion that gets wrapped up in this. I do think that Josh Heupel, since he's become the head coach at Tennessee, is very interested in what is important to the fans. So it's not to say this game doesn't mean much to him. It's not that this game, he doesn't know what it means to Tennessee fans and what it would mean if they were to get the win on Saturday. But I think it's more about his approach and the team's approach, and that's going 1-0 this week, as opposed to getting caught up in all of the of just the secondary stuff.
Yeah, and you know, the coach that replaced Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley, we make jokes about the opportunity is nowhere or now here doors, but
nowhere now here.
Yeah, opportunity is now here, John, with the Vols hosting a top 15 team and the chance to get to 5-2 and have a big raucous crowd to show to the recruits.
That's
open
right.
Those doors.
Open those doors and just make sure that you know where Rommel is. I mean, in all
yes.
of this, you can't lose sight of where he might be, and keep watering that bamboo. You may not see it grow, but sometime, I mean, just overnight, it's just going to explode. I don't think there's any question. There is so much stuff that has come and gone, and it is amazing the journey that Tennessee fans have had to take to get to this point, because there have been so many ups and downs, far more downs than ups, and just when you thought you might have turned a corner, it turned out to be into oncoming traffic. So I do think that this is something that if you can find a way, if Tennessee can find a way to win this game, I think the fan base is just going to explode.
I think you're right, and what a better wave of momentum to ride on going into the Alabama game. You would have been on a 3-game winning streak. Who knows what is going to happen in that game? I would still heavily lean towards Alabama.
Oh, I thought you had the Vols in the upset next week.
But well, we got to finish Saturday.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. So there's spoiler
one game
alert
at a time,
for Monday's
Ward.
Show. Yeah, yeah. Pump the brakes, Josh. But no, I mean it really would be just this incredible maybe we have finally turned the corner story with a nice win over a top 25 team.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's something you haven't done in a while. So there are a lot of things, and I fully understand why Ole Miss is favored coming into this game, and I do think that everything points to. I mean, you look at how long the quarterback has been playing with Lane, which is more time than Hendon Hooker has had with Josh Heupel. I also think that, as Jimmy Hyams has argued, and I can't disagree with him, is that Ole Miss brings the best quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. That's not to say that Young at Alabama can't get there, but he's not there yet. And to look at just how many bad games, I mean, there were a couple of just awful games that Corral had last year, hasn't thrown a single interception. So the fact that he can run the football the way he can, I really think that this is going to be the most challenging quarterback that Tennessee plays this season. But I also think that Tennessee's defense, while it certainly struggled against Emory Jones in Florida, and it has not done well in terms of shutting down a quarterback who can run, I just think that this is going to be the key. They have to make sure that they don't get killed by Corral, and it might be more his running the football as opposed to him throwing it.
John, don't you love these kinds of games where you feel like you're going to learn a little bit more? And it isn't to take away from what Tennessee did the last couple of weeks. It actually adds to it. But Tennessee just rolled up on Missouri, South Carolina. Now you're going up against a top 15 team, a team that is capable of scoring as well as anybody in the country. So, yeah, let's see really against quality competition how far Tennessee's come here in the last few weeks, because they look like they've improved. We get a better idea of how much.
Yeah, and I think that's a fantastic point, because you were right there with Florida. You had the lead in the second quarter. And then the Gators got the lead back, took over in the second half. You didn't score another point after halftime. So let's go back to that point in time, that line in the sand in terms of this season, and just see how Tennessee handles it in all fronts, whether it be offense, defense, or special teams. Do you handle it differently? Are you able to go out there and compete in a different manner, in a better fashion than you were when it came to the opportunity to finish in Florida? So you are at home this time. So I think there's, and I also, that's another aspect that I can't wait for, is while Tennessee hasn't had any attendance restrictions this year, it's been a while since Tennessee's been sold out. And I do think that the atmosphere, I mean, we saw what it meant to Kentucky against Florida. I mean, all those penalties the Gators got, so many false starts. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's home crowd can mean exactly that much, if not more, against Ole Miss on Saturday. I mean, make it really tough for them to communicate. Make it so hard for the other team just to go out there and do what they intend to do, and then let Tennessee, its team on the field, do the best they can to do their part. So I just really think that there are aspects of this game, and that's one of the reasons why, if you are going to the game and you haven't gone in a while, give yourself so much extra time. Because it's been a long time since it's been a sellout, like I said, 2017, but it's also been a while since you've had to worry about traffic and getting to your parking spot and all of that. Make sure you give yourself not just extra time, but extra time.
Oh, I thought you meant to get fueled up. I thought you were trying to raise
too.
The feistiness. Yeah, the feistiness meter.
No, I'm not saying you don't do that as well. I'm just saying that in terms of geography, make sure you give yourself time to get to where you want to be. First the tailgate or your parking spot, and then getting into the stadium, because it is going to be a chore. I mean, we have not seen a huge crowd this year, but last week it was the most traffic that I've seen coming to a Tennessee game. And so it was the line that was getting off of Alcoa Highway to Cumberland was stretched all the way back up to Alcoa Highway. I mean, everything was backed up more than we've seen to this point in the season, and it's going to be even more so. There's going to be roughly an additional 30,000 fans this week than there was last week.
That's a big number. It's a big game coming up on Saturday. Tennessee and Ole Miss will have it for you, of course, with Vol Network coverage on Saturday night, game day, all-day coverage all day long leading up to it. We'll come back with another segment of John Wilkerson here on Sports 180. We're covering Tennessee-Ole Miss NFL action tonight, a big Game 5. It'll decide the winner of the series between the Dodgers and the Giants in the National League. We'll see what John thinks about that coming up as we continue at the Bed Store today. We're at the Powell location on Clinton Highway, one of eight area Bed Store locations. That's where Sports 180 is set up today. More with John Wilkerson when we come back on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports 180 continues on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you for being with us as John Wilkerson is with us for another segment with Sports 180 set up at the Bed Store today in Powell on Clinton Highway. John, can you name that artist to bring us back in this segment?
Yes, I think it was Rick Springfield, was it not?
But being coach, no.
That's right. I think El Jefe is what he goes by.
John, I'm sorry. The correct answer would be the Eagles. The Eagles coming back in.
Oh, man. Don Henley. Gosh. Yeah. Always throws me. Always.
Yep. Classic. I don't have a segue after that terrible attempt at a joke by myself. I have Mr. Laugh, which I appreciate.
And if folks aren't picking up on the sarcasm that we know exactly who it is and what it is, you guys are big honking losers. That's all I'm going to say.
You're going to find your way to Monday's
Powerball. Yes. So you can celebrate their misery.
Somebody immediately turned down the radio to call and say, man, Josh and John are just a couple of idiots. You should hear how they screwed up the Bruce song.
And then I'm over there just laughing in the background. Yeah. That's great.
Real
That's
mature right. as always here on Sports 180. Hey, John, we're very excited. Game 5 tonight, start time a little after 9 o'clock on TBS, the Dodgers and the Giants. It was a tight race the whole way through. The Giants won out in the regular season in the division. Now here we are, Game 5, very appropriate, right? What do you think with this matchup between L.A. and San Francisco?
Yeah, Game 24 between the Dodgers and the Giants this year. Giants have 12 wins, Dodgers have 11. So it has been very evenly matched. And that one game, just think, that's the whole reason that this is in San Francisco as opposed to L.A. That one game difference in the series, which was 10-9 during the regular season, is exactly why the Dodgers are the road team. If you look at all time, this will be the 15th time that the Dodgers have played a winner-take-all game in the postseason, and they are 10-4 in the previous 14. The Giants, as a franchise, they didn't do so well in everything, you know, win or go home. But they have been a very good team since then. They were 0 for their first four, but now historically 6-5. So that means 6 of their last 7 times they've had the chance to win a series in advance or lose the series, they've won it. And so I think this is it's just going to come down to, I believe the early lead is going to be important. I don't think you want it to get to the bullpen. And if it does, I would give the nod to the Dodgers with the ability to either close out the Giants and or rally against San Francisco, because the Giants, they've had a very good closer this year, but he spent a portion of the month of September on the shelf. That doesn't mean he might be incredibly fresh and right back to 100%. But I think I still favor the Dodgers, even though the Giants have defeated me at every turn in terms of my projections and predictions. So this might be the best news of all for any Giants fan out there, that I'm going to lean with the Dodgers to get the job done tonight.
Do you think there's a team that needs this more? Like, I think of it in some terms of, like, with the Dodgers and some of the pieces aging and maybe, you know, revamping down the road. Like, do they need to get this to this NLCS more than the Giants, or would you say vice versa?
Well, the Dodgers just won it, but you do make a very good point as to where they are in regards to the window. Everybody always talks about the window. The thing is, the Dodgers are in such a better place. In fact, they are the team in Major League Baseball now that just says, make it happen. If we have the chance to pick up Max Scherzer, make it happen. If we have to take Trey Turner, make it happen. More so than any other franchise, they operate without a conscience. That doesn't mean they don't make smart moves. I'm just saying they're the ones right now, they're just rubber stamping everything. If we need it, let's do it. So for that reason, I would say that I would lean to the Giants, because this opportunity has come unexpectedly. It was supposed to be the Dodgers and the Padres. That was going to be the incredible battle that went all the way to the finish, and that was going to be the California Clash. But the Giants inserted themselves in the conversation early on, and so they might be playing with house money, but you just don't know if everything's going to fall into place. Once again, I do think it's kind of cool that you have former Red Sox teammates that are managing against one another, and Kapler for the Giants and Roberts for the Dodgers. That's always fun, and for that reason, I can enjoy whoever wins. But I just think that it really is a very neat showdown, and I would say that the Giants, just because the Dodgers would have a chance to fix anything they think that needs repairing with either prospects and or cash.
John, on the flip side, ALCS, is there a more appropriate battle here to get to the World Series, the Red Sox and the Astros?
Well, the great thing is there's no checkered history for either team as they square off. no reason, I know of. Penalties and or suspensions that that need to be discussed. Yeah, I think it's fun for the fact that every other American League franchise, even those that have checkered pasts of their own, are just flinging so many rotten tomatoes and garbage at this matchup. But you know what? Oh, goodness. They hate them because they ain't them.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the Astros stopped doing what they were doing. You want them to give the trophy back? They're not going to. I mean, they sort of apologized. Get on with it. And Alex Cora, I thought what he said after their series went over Tampa, it was really nice. Like, and you could tell it was very, he had thought it out, and he talked about, you know, I had to explain a lot to my family, and that was really tough to do, and we've, like, moved on. I mean, who cares? It's going to be awesome baseball.
I feel like all of a sudden I'm doing Sports 180 here with the pot and a kettle. What, look at you two.
And the thing is, the Yankees try to paint themselves as supreme victims in all of this, but they're ones that actually started all of it. The first Apple Watch stuff, that was the Yankees. It's, again, because they didn't win anything that they had to give up anything. So they couldn't even do it right. They just did it. And then kind of people picked it up and took it elsewhere with them. So that's one of the things. They try to paint themselves as such holier than thou. And look at those high horses in the Bronx. But no, they're dirty. They've been dirty. And they'll be dirty again. Because what team was penalized more than anybody when it came to suspensions for steroids and such like that? The most noteworthy individuals? That would be the Yonks. Goodness gracious.
I love feisty John Wilkerson. So good. So good.
So the Bronx Bombers, you are not clean, and you do not have the ability to just point and say, ha-ha, cheaters, you're a part of it as well. And Cardinal fans, little news for you, who did you get in trouble for cheating on? The Astros, and trying to steal their personnel information. So, again, you can't sit there and point, because at some point in time, two, and then the other one was the White Sox. That White Sox pitcher that decided to cast stones at the Astros, well, guess what? Who's the only franchise that was ever guilty of throwing a World Series? Tell me. Tell me.
Anytime Tony La Russa is going to get up on a high horse, that horse is only like 4 inches off the ground. Like, it's like, come on now. Let's pump the brakes there.
That's right. And if you ever find Tony La Russa on a high horse stopped in the middle of an intersection with a green light.
Hey. Well, John, before we let you go, why don't we finish up with someone who's never been accused of cheating? Tom Brady's on the road tonight against the...
That was great. That was a great segue. That might be your best
You like that one?
Best one ever. Yeah. I hope Kevin heard that.
The Eagles-Bucks, what do you think tonight? Any concern for the Buccaneers on the road?
Well, I'll say this. I thought that the Eagles were in the midst of a tough season. I mean, they won the first game, then lost the last three. Was impressed that they were able to go to Carolina and pin a second straight loss on the Panthers. And granted, Carolina hasn't been going full bore, missing offense and defensive contributors. But I just thought that it was impressive that they got the job done. I also think Jalen Hurts is playing some awfully good football that people perhaps haven't recognized as much as we've seen other young quarterbacks, their performances, because he doesn't have the wins that other guys do. So I do think that, yes, there are reasons for concerns, but goodness gracious, Tom Brady, 400 yards passing, 5 touchdowns his last game. They've got 1 loss this year. I just think that this is a team that is enjoying everything that it gets to do. There's a chance they could lose, but I like the Bucks, and so for that reason, I would roll with Tampa in this matchup until I see different, because they're just playing so very well.
They are. NFL action tonight, Game 5 in Major League Baseball, big college football weekend coming up, hockey started up, the NBA next week, so much going on in the sports world. John, we appreciate the time here this afternoon. We will check in with you again before Sports Talk takes over at 3 o'clock.
Always enjoy Thursdays. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you here in a little bit.
Thank you, John. We look forward to it. Our next hour will include more Tennessee Ole Miss talk. We'll talk to Alan Bell of Sportsline.com at 2:30, and our final hour will take place right here at the Bed Store. We are here in Powell on Clinton Highway at the Bed Store until 3 o'clock on Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal.